Church Renewal Conference, March 21 through 23, 1968. Resource Leader Finley B. Edge. Saturday morning, March 23. Tape 3, Side 2.
In their church, and I've asked you to take, say, 10 minutes, and then we'll have a chance for you to ask any questions for this.
Excuse me, Hazel. We do have the tape going, so let's come up here and start.
Now you can start over.
Excuse me, for the benefit of the tape, this is Miss Hazel Grady, Minister of Education, Oakhurst Baptist Church in Atlanta.
We're actually in a suburban area, Decatur, which is the county seat town of DeKalb County, but we're adjoining Atlanta in one spot, about two blocks away from us. In the spring of 1962, the pastor that we had at that time, led us to reactivate a missions committee that had been dormant for some time. The purpose at that time was to consider bringing a Cuban refugee family from Miami. We did bring that family in June of 1962, and since we were already seeing needs in our community, the changes were beginning to take place. We have kept this missions committee active ever since. Concerning the Spanish work, we have continued with it. We've actually helped 5 families come into our community, and we have 30 who are Spanish-speaking people who are members of our church now, plus their children, plus others who attend a Spanish Sunday school department and Spanish worship services. We have helped them with language tutoring and housing, job finding, and so forth. So we have a very large Spanish group in our area. We began studying our situation because some of us realized that this community that had been a good residential community for 50 years, and we had a nice, stable neighborhood church with a nice-sized budget, good middle-class folks, was beginning to change. And so as we studied the community, we realized that if we were going to do something, we should do it from a point of strength rather than waiting until we might have to become a mission of some other church or move because of lack of strength. And so we began to survey our community to find the needs that were there. And in the meantime, the schools began to realize the change. And so we organized a community council to think of the changes to try to stabilize the community. And 2 years ago, almost 3 now, a Decatur Weekday Ministries group was formed with 3 churches, Decatur First Baptist, Columbia Drive Baptist, and ours, to try to work together in a mission project. We are in a transitional community. We are rapidly becoming an inner city church. We are an integrated community and very much a cosmopolitan community now. In fact, in one of our 8-year-old Sunday school groups, we now have 5 nationalities every Sunday morning. Japanese, Mexican, Cuban, Negro, and white. So we have quite an interesting group of people to work with. We had surveyed our community. We even had Dr. Solomon Dowers from the Home Mission Board come be with us 2 months in the summer. It will be 3 years ago this coming summer. And then we lost our pastor of 11 years, and for 16 months we did not have a pastor. And we were stymied somewhat, although we had already in the planning through our women's group thought of a neighborhood women's group on Wednesday mornings and preschool activities, because we realized the barriers that were there among the economically disadvantaged people who were afraid of us, the Negro population that was moving in, and many of the barriers that were against them coming to Sunday school and church in the regular organizations on Sunday. Our young people were interested in the children of the community, so they had a Christmas party for the children from one elementary school district. They organized a skating party on Saturday afternoon for recreational facilities, because within our community there are no recreational facilities, and the juvenile authorities have said we have a potential dangerous juvenile delinquency area. And so we are trying to thwart this, and we are trying to give the children things to do to show them that we care about them, we're concerned about them, and we want them to know that we love them, and if we would like to get to know them. And so we were very fortunate 16 months ago then to get a pastor. We had not wanted to start many of our regular activities until we had a pastor who, and so that he could share with us and feel that he was in all of this. We were led to John W. Nickel, who had been in a pioneer mission program in Flint, Michigan. He came because he felt the challenge of the situation. He was not afraid of it. And we feel that the Lord led him to us, because he has led us in a tremendous way in the program that we're now in. One of the first things he did was to have several retreats with deacons and to help them to really have some study groups. We have never put to a vote whether we would do something or not do it. He has just preached and guided us in a way that we have felt that this is the Lord's will for us to do it. We have decided that if we are to stay in the community where we are, and we feel that we have a responsibility to stay in the community, then we must be the church in the community. We must be the people of God, and we must have an integrity of witness. And so some people are surprised that we have actually become an integrated church without ever voting on it. But it has been a gradual thing, because we wanted the people, it to become a people that would be the people of God. And the pastor felt that if we ever had to put it to a vote, then we had failed. And when we actually had some people to join, about a month ago, it was voted in without any vocal protest. And the people, most of them stayed and came up and shook hands with the family afterwards. And so we felt that that was a step forward. We have, to help break down barriers, and because of needs as we have studied our community, we now have a study hall and tutoring service for the children of our community 4 afternoons a week. These are all staffed by lay people. We have a library ministry. Our church librarian is here, that undergirds every weekday activity that we have. She feels that books should be in the hands of all people, regardless of whether they come to our church or not. And if we lose a few books, so what? And so these books undergird everything that we do. We have a tremendous shelf of church renewal books. We have books on any subject you want, over more than 3,000 volumes. Our women have a very active neighborhood women's group on Wednesday morning and preschool activities. These women now are to the point, after more than a year of having this group, they will come to us with their problems. They will refer other people to us. They now trust us. And some of them are beginning to come to Sunday school and bring their children to Sunday school. Our women have been willing to get their hands dirty, to go into the homes and care for children. Just recently, when a mother had to have psychiatric care, 4 of our families took the 5 children between 3 and 10 and kept them in their home for 2 weeks and cared for those children. The children are now in a foster home. Mrs. Frizzell over here said that she had never been to court in her life, but when a lady got her family got in trouble, she went with her and held her hand and shook with her. we've been to jail. We've been to the emergency clinics. We've been to the mental health department. We've been to the juvenile authorities. And where now we have a community minister who is a graduate of Southern Seminary here, who's had clinical counseling, and he is now partially employed by the Home Mission Board, because they see us as a pilot project. And he has his offices in our church. He's also working some with Decatur First Baptist. And he is our agency. He is on the one of the community councils. He is in a strategic place where he can help with housing violations and all the problems that are in the city. We're putting a voice in our community to stabilize our community, to see that some of these laws are enforced that are on the books, but they're not doing anything about them. He does counseling with these people who have crisis situations. We have a food pantry. We have a clothing room. We have a used furniture room, and we tried to help these people, not as a stopgap measure, but to find out what causes it, what are the conditions, and try to go underneath and undergird and help these people to get on their feet so that they will have a dignity and will not feel that they are being manipulated, that we're... And when we work with them, we never say anything about their soul salvation at the beginning, because we don't want them to feel that. As an old lady said, I wish those people down at that church cared as much about me as they do about my soul. And we feel that as we work with them, they will see love and concern in action, and then they begin asking us, why are you doing this for me when I'm not a member of your church? As one of this lady who had a psychiatric treatment, we've had a number, at least a dozen people who've been involved with her for over a month now. And she cannot understand when her family would not care for her, why we would take that time. Because she said, I'm not a member of your church. I've only been there a couple of times. Why do you do this for me? And this is your opportunity to share in a verbal way. We have the skating on Friday afternoon now for the children of the community. We have a community theater on Saturday afternoon. Sometimes we have 225 children there for the theater. Some of these children now begin to come to Sunday school on Sunday morning. But for those that we still can't get on Sunday, we're starting a Saturday morning Bible study and craft period for these children. We have a summer day camp program. We've had a coffee house for the teenagers. Right now it's closed up because it's not needed at this particular time, but we're going to open it again in the early summer. We have a drama group. We are starting an XYZ group, which is our older citizens. They told us not to call them senior citizens because they don't feel old, so they're called Extra Years of Zest group. They're in the middle of everything. They help with the skating. They've built a skate rack for all the skates. They help with the tutoring. They're in all the activities, so they don't feel they're old. As of next Wednesday, we're going to have a well baby clinic in our church. The first time in its history, the health department is going to come outside of their own buildings and use our building for the doctor and nurses to do a baby clinic. Invitations have been sent out by them to 25 ladies in our community to bring their babies there to be checked. You see, it will be within walking distance of them, and they can't get to the health department oftentimes to have their babies checked. We will care for their other preschool age children while their babies are being checked. We're hoping in the near future to have in our community, cooperatively with the Oakhurst Presbyterian Church and possibly the Patilla Methodist Church, a daycare center. We work cooperatively with these other churches because we're all in the same situation. We also have the two elementary schools in our immediate community are very thrilled about what we're doing, and the teachers send us notes about the needs of the children and which ones need personal tutoring. We find that the people are now beginning to respond to us. They realize that we mean what we're doing, that we're not trying to coerce or manipulate them, that we really care. And we've had one of the ladies was telling me about a little girl, who said, you know, those people up there love each other. And we had three little girls bring their mother to Sunday school, they said, because they like us and they want us. And so we feel that we are beginning to communicate to the community that we really care about you. We have gotten our hands dirty painting and cleaning up homes and an old part of our building that hadn't been used. We have painted, a group of our people were Monday night were there painting. And I'd painted for the first time in years, and I was so sore the next day I could hardly move, but it was lots of fun getting ready for this well baby clinic. We are recently baptized. Two Sunday nights ago, we baptized four people, and all of them had an individual story to tell and was an outgrowth of many months of work. Each one of them you could write a case history on. Two of them were ladies who had been worked with for many years in many different ways. One was a 14-year-old Cuban boy whose father and 12-year-old brother were drowned 4 days after they came to the States, leaving this boy and his mother and 8-year-old sister with no means of support. We have worked with them since last summer. The other was our office secretary in reception who was a Methodist when she came to us, and after 5 months with us, she decided she wanted to become a part of us, which we felt was a compliment because she felt that she wanted to be to work with us and be a part of us other than just being a secretary in our office. We're training our people. On Sunday evening, we have a mission action group. Right now, we're studying the economically disadvantaged group, and Bill Jackson, our community minister, is leading this. They have practical application. Each one in that group has a family that they're working with and reporting on. They have resource people, referral people from the health department and the family services and so forth who are coming to that group. I'm teaching a leadership training group for prospective workers. We have a new member orientation program going. We have several small group studies, searching groups. We have a leadership training, leadership retreat planned for next weekend with key leadership from our church, in which we're going to do some long-range planning. And one of the things we're thinking about is reevaluation of our Sunday school and training union, with where we're going as far as depth Bible study and what we're going to do with our adults and training union. Are we going to go completely to study groups and so forth? So this is generally what we're doing.
Well, thank you very much, Hazel. I know we didn't have time for you to say all that you wanted to say. There may be questions which some may have.
One other thing. We have a retired minister and his wife who have just come with us January the 1st. He was with our Georgia Baptist Convention in the Department of National Baptist. And he's retired. He was interested in what we're doing. So he and his wife came and joined us, and he's going to work part-time with us. And he's working with our elderly people. You see, since we're an older church, we have a lot of elderly people, more than 70 shut-ins. And he is doing this ministry, and he's going to help with undergird our work. He's also working in our study hall and tutoring program.
All right, fine. Let me ask one question on behalf of the group. Really, two questions. To what extent, and you can answer this only in general, but to what extent have you been able to involve your lay people in some of these mission action things which you're doing? And secondly, how have you gone about trying to enlist these people or involve them?
Well, we have a good, fairly good-sized group working in all of these activities. We have lay people in all the activities. We wish we could involve more. It's the same old problem, you know. That's great. We'll let you do it, you know. And we were talking the other day with the community minister, and we were talking about some new things that needed to be done, new needs we're seeing. But we were figuring it out. It would take 35 more volunteers to get it done. And first of all, the WMS has been tremendous in helping us with this, as they have done surveys, and we've given out to survey sheets in which you check what you would be interested in helping with, and we've kept a file on this. It's getting on the phone a lot of times and just talking to people and convincing them that they ought to help with some of these activities. Now we're starting some training groups. We wish we could involve more people. We have a number of churches around us who want to come in and help us. You see, they can come in. They're not living with it every day, and we're glad to have them, but we want to get more of our own people involved. It's great to have Columbia Drive Baptist Church send some ladies to help with the preschool activities. It's great to have First Church Decatur come in and help us with some of the tutoring service. It's great to have Second Ponce de Leon all the way across town to send some young people to help with the community theater on Saturday afternoon. And it's good for them to be involved. But they're coming from outside the community. Of course, Decatur First is right across from us, about a mile. And they're getting in very interested because they're getting into some of the same problems. But we want to get more of our people involved. It's still a small percentage.
About how many people would you say from your church are involved, and what is the membership of your church?
Well, we have technically about 1,200 members. We don't know, some of them are non-resident. We don't know where some of them are. But involved, I haven't counted up. We have people signed up to give one day a week for study hall, some to help with skating, some to help with the theater. Louise, how many would you say approximately we've got involved right now? Sybil? I would imagine something like that. I know one of our first counts, we had 75 people who signed up. We had a preliminary study back last spring after they came back from the George Weber Conference. We used a number of Sunday nights and used part of his tapes and his book, God's Calling in Man's World. We studied on mission action in general about where we were going and undergirding the idea of why we were doing these things. Yes. Good.
You mean a fellowship, a oneness of, in the life of the church?
Yeah, well, I would say with this feeling of one the leadership and those who are
yes. The leadership is committed to this.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
I see.
And the pastor and the
just yeah.
Move yeah. And
yeah.
Well, all the staff is in one accord. The minister of music and youth, who is part-time now because he is also teaching in the high school, our new community minister, our pastor, I've been there 13 years, and so I've gone through the whole change and have an understanding of the whole change, but we have a tremendous rapport. We work together. We everything goes just like this, and it's been a tremendous experience, really.
All of these things are going on in our own facility. And,
yeah, we're in our own building.
We're not going way down by the river or something like
that. Yes. And this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
We have
John, I mean, Luke, let me, do you have any word yet from your situation? That's all right. We are so happy that you all came, and
thank
we regret this that makes it necessary for this kind of thing, but we certainly understand. So happy you came. Right, right.
I think you have a eureka feeling about this.
She just commented that they think they have a eureka feeling about this. So we have a couple of questions over here. Let's start with Charles. You go ahead.
Both. We have some of our own members in the women's group. Are we involving any of our own people in this women's group on Wednesday morning, or is it all outsiders? It's both. We have some of our own ladies who are coming. We have other than those who are working with the group, we have some of our own ladies who from the same area of the community who are neighbors of these other ladies, and they are coming and being a part of it. And then our own ladies who work with them on a consistent basis, these ladies right here, these three all work in that Wednesday morning group, and plus some others, and they do it with a continuity. And this is why we've been able to have the rapport with these people. Do we help with domestic problems and other problems only those who are outside our church? Well, we're finding with both our pastor and our community minister that people are coming to them with their problems, both inside and outside the church. Of course, so much of this is confidential that the average church member does not know and should not know what is going on. But many people come with their problems, and of course I'm in the position to know oftentimes when somebody comes, although I don't know the problem and shouldn't know the problem, but I do know that many of our own people, as well as those outside, do come and are counseled and guided, and we try to follow through where there is a need. If it's a legal problem, we have a good referral service. These agencies now know us. We've been working long enough, and they know that we have a genuine concern, and this is not a do-gooder type program. So now we have a real good relationship with the family services, and the health department and the juvenile authorities and the legal aid, and so we can go to them and say, here is someone that we've gone as far as we can, will you take over? And we knew when this lady needed psychiatric help and she had no money that we could take her down to Grady Hospital, emergency clinic. They have an emergency psychiatrist on. He took it from there and gave her the psychiatric care she needed, first in the Grady Clinic Psychiatric Care Center, now in the Georgia Mental Health Institute, where she's getting the care that she needs. But we knew how to refer and go through, and this is the advantage of our community minister. He's had clinical training. While he's not had social work training, he has had clinical training. He is able to do many of these things. I'm theologically trained and trained in religious education. I wish I had some social work training. I could certainly use it. I'm learning it by hard knocks and by a lot of reading, and I've grown a lot in 2 years.
John?
I was just going to test a couple of ideas out. Mm-hmm. As you've had some experience with them in health, and mentioning people of this type, I spotted a couple of these. Mm-hmm. One for instruction of new mothers to be and recent new mothers and baby care. I don't know whether this ties in as well, baby thing. The other idea maybe I could throw out would be, I've gone in several homes where they're on commodity and noticed that they had some kind of biscuit and gravy, and that was their meal, period. Mm-hmm. My wife's a dietitian, and she said, I wish I could work with some of these people and give them some ideas and creative things they could make out of commodity.
This is one of the things that these ladies hope to get done. We have not gotten to this point yet. This is one of the things. We have right now a doctor in our church who is Dr. Martha Gilliland, who's a missionary to Nigeria, who's on furlough at Georgia Baptist Hospital for a year. She's a gynecologist and obstetrician. She has said that she would come and talk with these ladies some morning. This is some of the things you want to do. How to use the little bit of money you have, how to budget it wisely, how to have nourishing meals. There are many people that we can bring in. Right now we have been helping some of them with sewing. We have a Bible study period with them. They've been making things for themselves, learning to make things, and we're teaching them to share. So they have, one time they made cancer pads for the Cancer Society to help them to see that there were other people who had needs and that they could help. There are many things we want to do, and one of the things in connection with the health department, they're thinking in terms of maybe a prenatal clinic type of thing.
In your experience, mm-hmm. You think things
yes.
might work too.
Mm-hmm. We also were saying the same thing.
Uh-huh. What have we done with the men? This is one of our lacks. We're trying to get our men involved to that they will take over some of these husbands that have problems. We're just now beginning to get through our community minister to work with some of the husbands. Now, this particular lady, her husband had problems, and he was part of the problem, of her problems. And the community minister has been working with him. Until now, the man will call him several times a day for help and advice, and I think the first time in his life that a man has cared about him. And so this is one of the things we're trying to get our men to the point that they will want to do some of the same things that the women have been willing to do. Now, they will come, and we've got some men involved in the study hall and tutoring service in the afternoons. We've got some who will come help put on skates. But we have very few men who are willing to come and be involved in personal life. Yes. Now, the study group on Sunday night, some of those men, we have about 20 in that group, and each one of them has a family that they're working with, and some of these are men, and this is our first breakthrough here. They are actually, and you see, they take one family and stay with that family. Whether we've had contact with them and they have definite problems, and they come back on Sunday night, and there is sharing of whether they're working in the right relationship with this family, could they be doing something else, and so on. And so we are here is where we hope the nucleus will come from, that these men will get out and maybe have a men's organization. We need something with teenage boys, for instance. This is a great need because, as I said, the juvenile judge has told us that this is a potential danger area. And as the new terminology of the Home Mission Board is, we're hoping to have a cool summer in Atlanta. So
you touched mine. I was thinking in terms of the unrest of our young people today and the reference that you've shown. And I was thinking in terms of how do you get the best result in working with a younger group? Do you use young Christian people, more teenagers with teenagers, or something older, or just any way that you can reach them?
We have our own young people involved in these activities. We have our intermediates and young people involved with some of these activities. We have several very fine high school young people, Mrs. Wright's daughter and son, both help with the study hall in one afternoon a week, because some of these high school young people are sharper in some of these subjects than we are. The new math in particular. Her daughter is a whiz in new math. And so she's great with these little second and third and fourth graders, you know. We found remedial reading is a problem, and we're having to get some people involved in remedial reading with these children. You see, many of the children have not been motivated to study, and these young people are great with them because they can identify with them, work with them, and so we have them involved. They help with the skating. They were the ones who instituted this children's Christmas party that was an entree to the community. They're the ones who provided the first 50 pair of skates for the skating rink. And yes, with the movie. So we involve our own young people, making them have this sense of commitment and of understanding, and they in turn, of course, can help reach other young people in the community. But we really need to have something possibly, particularly for the boys, teenage boys who are not being reached otherwise in the community, something that will, and we've had several young men who have said that they would be interested in rifle club and automobile, tearing an automobile apart and this thing. So this is some things in the planning that we need to do. And of course they could take an old car, you know, they've just been hours, and this is a great way to get to know some boys if you work with them in a technical way. In fact, one of the mission centers in Atlanta had a snake club one year. They went on a snake hunt to South Georgia.
Sounds to me like these people are entertaining fantastic possibilities, don't you think? Sure. All right.
But the thing that I did want to ask, do you feel like that out of this renewal and out of this death, you are beginning to make an evangelism out of
the question was, out of this mission social involvement, are you beginning to see any evidences of evangelistic results?
Yes. Slow. Some of the people will never reach. We realize this. We are beginning to see. I could give you some case histories of families that started through one organization or another. Then on Saturday afternoon, with the theater and with the skating, which you started on Saturday afternoon and now on Friday afternoon, we started filling out cards on these children. We did it, first of all, at skating, because in case one of them got hurt, we had their names, address, and if they had a telephone number, the parents' names. But then we started making some friendly visits into these homes just to say, we're glad your child is coming to our activities. This was an entree. If we found that they were Methodists or Presbyterians, went to church, all right, we're glad to have your children come. We hope they continue to come. We marked that on the card and filed it. But we found that this has been a nucleus for many of those who've come to the women's group. And our women have gone and gone and gone. They haven't just left folders and say, you come. They've gone and said, will you come? We want you. We will come and get you. We're providing for your children. And it's been on a one-to-one individual basis. And many of these came from these cards. We have quite a file. We've channeled these to Sunday school classes and departments because this is a ready-made census survey right here. And so we're beginning to see some of them. Now they're slipping in. Some of them are slipping on the back rows in church. You see, they feel beaten. Many of the economically disadvantaged people feel very beaten down by life. They feel inferior. They feel that they're not as good as other people, that people look at them. My clothes are not good, and yet some of them are too proud to accept clothing. One lady, the only way that, we try to do it in privacy, but one way was she came to me. She wouldn't trust it to anybody else. She came to me because I had befriended her, and she said, my daughters are getting active in your GAs and your choir program, and I want them to, but you know, they need some sweaters and some other things that don't look as good as their clothes don't look as good as other children. And I said, well, you come over some afternoon, and I'll get the key, and we'll go down to the clothing room, and we'll find some things for your children. And nobody, not even the girls, need to know where those sweaters came from. This lady was one of the ones who joined our church just recently. But we had been working with her, I guess, 5 years, hadn't we? Or more. And her little girls couldn't pay for their supper, but we have choir before supper and GAs after supper. Well, we quietly made arrangements with the finance committee for those children to eat. They don't know that they're not paying for their suppers. They just know that it's been taken care of. And their mother and the chairman of finance and I are the only one who know that the children are not paying for their suppers. But they can come and be a part. And so we have to do these things so that people keep their pride, their self-respect. And mothers, many of them, come and get clothing for their families. And nobody else needs to know that they got clothing out of the clothing room. And so we love them, and we show concern for them as individuals, and they are beginning to realize that we. So this is paying dividends in their coming to Sunday school. And some of our women, as they go and show them that we care about you, and even if we do look like a big church to you because you came from a rural community, if you get into a small Sunday school class and you get to know some ladies in that class, it doesn't matter how big the church is.
Yes.
Yes, it's running.
After how much the WMS Society is involved in all the practices?
The question is, how much is the WMS involved in this mission action?
All the way up to their necks.
Really, as I understand what you have been saying, is that the WMS who is the backbone.
They were the ones who got the idea first.
Of this social action and involvement. And it isn't, as you have said, it isn't a casual contact with these people. It is a deep involvement as these people give their lives to these other people.
As these three ladies. Yes. The clothing room is a part of their activities. We have our people. To the point now, you don't throw away any furniture. You don't throw away any good used clothing. Everything is brought to the church. A circle a month takes the clothing room, checks the clothing that's brought in, cleans it, mends it, presses it, sizes it, and hangs it. So that when we go to the clothing room, here's a men's section, a women's section, a child's section, a baby section, so on. And this is a full-time job for a circle. In fact, it stays behind because our people bring in so many things. Of course, some of it's not usable. We throw it out in the box because we only keep the good used clothing. We have a basement now with since we have so many Cuban refugees who come with only a couple suitcases, and we have people who need things. When you buy a new refrigerator, you give us the old one. If you buy a new stove, you give us your old stove and so forth. And we have a section of our basement that is set aside for that sort of thing. We have the circles keep our food pantry stocked with canned staples. We have, then they help with this women's club on Wednesday morning. They bring refreshments for the ladies, and one circle a month takes that, and they bring the food, freshly baked cakes, and they come in and sit down and be with the women, get to know them, get involved with them too. And this has been a great thing that these women on a continuous basis share and identify with these ladies who have been put upon. This is the only time that they get away from a house full of children. They can sit and talk, and when they first came, they wouldn't even open their mouths, and now they chatter like everybody else. And identify, they ask prayer requests for each other. They used to not even, open their mouths when you had prayer time. Now they'll say, well, so-and-so down the street has a sick child, and so-and-so, you know.
Thank you. I'm sorry to have to break into this and call it to halt, but some of our people are having to leave. We are so grateful for this presentation, and I think that what this church is doing is tremendous, and I think that it serves as an example for many of us. Let me turn the